Bet you didn't know Jesus wore blue jeans and cool Jesus sandals, did you? Well, you know, that's what I wear, cool Jesus sandals and blue jeans, and I wear a t-shirt too. You thought I was going to flash you there for a moment. That's very concerning. Some of you were concerned there for a second. Well, you know what? I don't know what Jesus would wear if he wore it today. I hope he'd wear something like I would, but I'm certainly not Jesus, and we can try to look like somebody else. And you know, when you go to the store, you go and you went to JCPenney's this past week with my wife, and so I'm like tagging along for a while. And then finally, they have chairs. They have man chairs at JCPenney's, right? So you just have to find the man chair. And so I found the man chair. And she's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm just tired of chasing you and looking through. But you're just like looking through clothes and things like that. And there are a myriad of all of them. But to a dude, ladies, they all look pretty much the same. I mean, it's just, they all just look the same. And you'll notice that styles will come out. And then you'll have to look like the style. And you're like, well, no, there's lots of styles. Have you seen 70s photos? I mean, the bell bottoms and everything. And back in the 80s, that's when I was, you know, growing up. One day I'll grow up. We had these huge, huge glasses. And then in the 90s, they got really, really tiny. And you could, like, hardly see through them. And now they're huge again. And so it's, like, really cool. But back in the 90s and 2000s, they used to make fun of the pictures of all our huge glasses. And then the kids come out, and now they're all wearing it. Basically, we just look like everybody else. But we can't look like, we can try to look like somebody else, but we can't really be somebody else. When it comes to the spiritual life and it comes to the Christian life, we want to emulate Jesus. We want to model Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. But I know we're not really exactly like Jesus, are we? Are you? Are you exactly like Jesus? Well, the point of this is that when we were created, we weren't supposed to be exactly like a duplicate of Jesus or a duplicate of God, but the Bible says that we were created in His image. Now, our purpose here on earth is to bring as many people to heaven with us before we die. But one of the things that God wants for us, what God wants for you in your life, is for you to become like Jesus, for you to bear the image of God. We're not just made in the image of God in the sense that we have intellect, or we have emotions, or we have a soul, or we have a spirit. We're actually made in the image of God in order to, we're supposed to mirror His behavior. We're supposed to walk with Him. Now, we're not gods, we're humans, but we're supposed to be image bearers of Him. Now, in our world, most people are not image bearers of God. They don't look, act like God so much. That's just the majority of people. And sometimes we're part of that majority. We're not too Jesus-oriented, right? You know, you hammer your finger and you're like, you have a moment, you're not particularly like Jesus. Man, yeah, but Jesus never had that happen to Him. And then we remember He was a carpenter. He probably did, you know. And so we're supposed to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, be like Jesus. And it's kind of an overwhelming thought until you realize that what God does for us is He lives in us and He puts the Spirit of God in us. So it is actually His Spirit living through us that allows us to do that. We wake up or we try to earn our salvation or we try to earn God's favor, and you can't do it. What we have to do is we have to let God work in us and work through us to become like Him, to become mirror images of Him. And that's what sin does. You ever gone to one of these circus places and they have the funny mirrors? Fat people look skinny, skinny people look fat, you know, on the mirrors and stuff? Has anybody done that? Y'all are awake yet. Anybody done that when you go and you do that? The hall of mirrors?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did. A whole bunch of times. I always look skinny. I always look good. I know they're not right.
Exactly. See? He knows what he's talking about. It's getting him to quit talking that's the problem. But the whole, now I'm lost, dude. God, Denny. So you have this, and you're not bearing the image. In fact, the Bible talks about that, how we're they didn't have mirrors so much, but you would look in the water, and you would have an image come back to you. But water rippling and things, it's not exactly as it's supposed to be, or it's not an exact replica of what you're seeing. Now we have mirrors that allow us to see things, except they're still backwards, you know? When you do one of those Facebook live things, everything's backwards. When you take a picture or a selfie or whatever, you're always backwards, right? We're still backwards of that. We're not complete and total spitting images of God, but it is our God's intention for us to do that. And sin mars that. Sin, literally, the word is it messes the reflection up. It bends the reflection of what God intended for us to be as human beings. And we wonder why, when we're kind of going our own direction, doing our own thing, developing our own lives and just kind of inviting God along for the ride, why it doesn't work. Because we were intended to bear the image of God. We were intended to walk with God, to live out with God. Well, let's get into the Bible passage here. And the reason I'm mentioning all that, here we get into Revelation, the 10th chapter. Now, we've gone through six trumpets. There are seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, and then there are seven thunders too. But all we get is these bowls on the back end, and they come out of the trumpets, and then the seals, the trumpets come out of the seals. These seals, the title deed to the earth. And Jesus is the only one that has the authority to open them and to read what's in the scroll. And what's in that scroll and those seven scrolls are the end. When Jesus comes again, when God conquers evil on earth for good. And we talked about that last week, how he's conquering evil. We don't like the idea. We like the idea of God getting rid of all our problems and all the bad stuff in our lives until we realize we have bad stuff. God is going to take care of evil. So there's this angel that's going to come down, and many people, scholars, etc., say, oh, this is Jesus. And it seems a lot like Jesus, but the deal is he's been around the throne of God so much that he looks like looks like almost like Jesus, but it's not Jesus. It's another angel. There's a word here. Then I saw another, and that word, their Greek is kind of different. We have like one word for another. There's like six words for another in Greek. We actually have a pretty simple language, a few million words. Greek has like, I don't know, 14 million words, and they all have different nuances and things. Another here is another like those that you have seen before. So this is another angel. Then I saw another mighty angel. It's on the screen. It's in your program. Mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud with a rainbow over his head. Remember, there was a rainbow in the around the throne, and that rainbow went in a complete circle. We only see half on earth, but the complete circle. His face shone like the sun. His feet were like pillars of fire. And in his hand was a small scroll, a little book, that had been opened. He stood with his right foot on the sea and left foot on the land. I don't know, maybe he looked like that. And he gave a great shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the seven thunders answered. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying, keep secret what the seven thunders said and do not write it down. You know what the seven thunders said? No, we don't. He literally did keep it a secret forever and ever. We have no clue what you can write a paper on it and it'll just be blank. We have no clue what was on there. Keep secret what those are. Don't write it down. That's so frustrating, man. I want to know what the thunder said, right? Sid's like that. He's like, man, I want to know everything. I want to know it all. Well, that between the sixth and the seventh seal, between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, and between the sixth and the seventh bowl in the book of Revelation, stylistically and the way it is, there's an interlude. There's an intermission. We've been talking about all the, like, one-third of the earth is put to fire and all of these things and catastrophes going on, and it's really overwhelming, and there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes because it was just like, there was like a 30-minute gasp in heaven. This is happening. And now the seventh seal has been opened, and everything that we see all the way to the end of the world is going to happen now. It's going to be in the seventh seal and in these trumpets. Here we go. We're rocking and rolling. And this person or this angel in this instance seems a lot like Jesus, but he's not exactly like Jesus. And if we want to become like Jesus, You become more like Jesus. I become more like Jesus through my relationship with God. Now, that just sounds like nothing. When the first apostles were around, they were taken and they were arrested and all kinds of stuff for speaking the name of Jesus. You know what they said about them? They looked at them and they said, and they observed that they had been with Jesus. They had been around Jesus so much that they're like, they act like Jesus. They've been around him a lot. In our relationship with God, you become more like Jesus. How? By being around Jesus. You become more like your friends by how? Being around your friends. By the way, it's not part of this sermon, but if you can show me your friends, I can show you your destiny every single time, every time. And we don't want to hang, you know, we're like, well, I want to hang on to my friends. Sometimes you got to give up some of these. They're pulling you. They pull you a certain way. You're always going to be like other people that you're around. Yeah, I grew up in Arkansas. Yay. Good to see all four of us here today. Six of us. Actually, Jamie and Eddie are here too. Well, when I get on the phone, now, those of you who are like from, you know, Jersey and place, they think, wow, he has a weird accent. And I do. But it is nothing compared to the accent that I get when I talk to my mom or dad on the phone. You like that? You go back up to Jersey, Denny, all of a sudden, man, you're talking like the, oh, yeah, you got it all going on. You got to watch it because, you know, you start to really talk like them and they go, oh, boy. You get around other people, you start to really talk, and they'll laugh because you hang around with people, you start talking like them. You start mouthing, you start saying the things that they do because you're around them. You spend time with Jesus, you're going to become more like him. How do you do that? You talk to him, you're in his word, you're talking to him about everything, you're listening to him, you have a relationship with God. That's why the Holy Spirit is put in you. You have God literally in you. You're talking to him, you're listening to him, you're going to the word, you're looking to him, you're around other people who are followers of him. You will become like those you hang around. You will become like Jesus if you hang around him. They had been with Jesus. That's what people noticed about them. And wouldn't it be cool if people could say, man, that guy sure does act like Jesus. That gal sure does act a lot like Jesus to me, or what I would think Jesus would look like. Hey, let's look at 5-7. Then the angel I saw standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand toward heaven. He swore an oath in the name of the one who lives forever, who created the heavens and everything in them, the earth and everything in them, and the sea and everything in it. What did he create? Apparently everything. He said this. This is kind of ominous. There will be no more delay. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. It will happen just as he announced to his servants, his prophets. Now, there's a couple of things in there theologically to catch. It will be just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Who are the prophets? The prophets were the ones that we read about when we read that part called the Old Testament. We read it. And it is telling us that there's really nothing new here. The book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ to John, everything that we read has already been said in the Old Testament. Everything that we're reading has been talked about. Everything that we see has been prophesied. Now, it wasn't necessarily in order, and it wasn't necessarily all at once. In fact, it was over hundreds and hundreds of years. But you can see all these things referenced all the way back, and things that happened with prophets and things that prophets said. And if you think Revelation is weird, just live during the time of the prophets and their doings, talking about some of this stuff. And they haven't even seen Jesus show up on the scene, the Messiah, yet. It would be funky weird to them. But these prophets spoke that. So there's nothing new that we're reading here. There's nothing new that we're talking about, which is cool because it helps us to understand the revelation. And I'm amazed as we keep going through here how simple this book is. If you really want to catch it, they were talking to people who were being arrested. John is talking to people who are being killed for their faith. And if you just read Revelation all in one sitting, which is how they heard it to begin with, they didn't sit back and analyze 10 verses at a time like we're doing today, and people do all over the place, and you can get crazy with it. I mean, they pull out the charts, and here they go, I call them the chart sharks, and they're coming out here, and they've got all these things going crazy, and they're putting imagery where it doesn't belong, and they're putting stuff all in it and just making it really weird. And so we're trying to de-weird this. Everything that you've read in the Old Testament, it shows up here. And we're seeing these things come in order together. And if you'll just read it in one big sitting one day, if you got about half an hour, and you read it and you think, man, if my family was being threatened, if I were being under threat and under persecution and under threat of death, and I just read this, what would it be like? It would be a very encouraging book to you. Because you're like, wow, in the end, we win. Evil is going to be conquered. All of these people that are coming after us for following Jesus, it matters. It is worth it. My life counts. My place in history matters. So whatever's going on, they understood, all right, it can come on me right now. It can be difficult right now. But in the end, Jesus wins. Evil is conquered. There's a new heaven and a new earth, and we get to live with him forever there. And it's a cool thing. So just read it like that, and it's kind of an overwhelming thing. Now, when we read through this here, we see what John is doing, this angel. He says, there's no more delay. Remember a few weeks ago, we had those people that were being martyred, and they prayed, and they asked, God, how long until you come and deal with this? Now, some of us have that same feeling with our problems, don't we? God, how long will I have to deal with this situation? When are you going to come and intervene? When are you going to come and do something about the situation? We often think God is taking too long. And when God finally shows up, or in our mind, he finally shows up as if though he's on our timetable. When God shows up and does something, you're like, wow, that worked out better than if he had done something earlier, or if it had happened earlier. And God wants to grow you. Why does God let us keep going through this stuff? Why does God keep working through these things? To test us, not to tempt us, but to test us and make us trust him more and make us obey him more, to see if we're going to obey him through this. And that's another way you become like Jesus. Simply, this is not rocket surgery today, guys. Through obedience to God. The more you obey, the more you learn. Some of you army guys know that. The more you do it, the more you learn it, right? The more you repeat it, the more you're trained. The more you do it until you can't get it wrong, it becomes second nature to you. The more you obey, the more you do, the more you trust that what God says in his word is true and that you're going to follow it, even though it might feel weird or it might seem odd or it is completely against what our world thinks, and it will be. As we obey, we become more like Jesus. We do what he does, and we become more like him step by step. And this angel here, he says, there's no more delay. It's going down right now. It's about to get real. And everything that we see now to the end of the book of the Revelation here is God taking care of business, and it is happening. God is moving mountains. He is pushing aside every obstacle thinkable to deal with your circumstances that you're praying for. These people, how long? How long until you deal with it? And this angel comes along. There is no more delay. He says, this is what's happening right now. And when we obey God, and when we step with him, and we trust him, and we trust what his words say. One thing that we do, we have our way of doing things because we're sinful people, we're messed up people, and we all are, guys. We're all jacked up. And so we've got our way of coping with things. We've got a way of dealing with things. We've got a way of doing things. And we come to Christ, and his Spirit comes in us, and we start to read and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to follow you. and we read something and it's different about how we deal with our money and how we deal with relationships and how we deal with sexuality and how we deal with just how we think in this world that we live in, and we're like, wow, okay, that's not how I've thought before. And it just kind of feels weird. It kind of feels like a new thing, a new dance step. I'm white, so any dance step feels weird to me, you know. When I was playing tennis, I was actually pretty good. This was Arkansas, and I was top 10 in the state, okay? It's Arkansas. It's not like it's Texas or huge, but still, I didn't stink. So I would play, and I was pretty good in my region. I beat everybody kind of around our area, and I had a serve, okay? And so I'd serve and do this. But then I'd play somebody that was really, really good, and they'd kick my booty. And so my coach is like, you know, your serve stinks. He was really thoughtful that way. He says, your serve stinks. It doesn't have any spin to it. So I had my racket like this, and he like turned my racket. So my racket was like sideways, and I had to grip it like that. And then for like the first few weeks to a month, I would play people that I had beaten before. And now they were challenging me. And now I wasn't beating them by as much, or I wasn't beating them at all because of this stupid grip that my coach made me do, right? Because I'm like, it's weird. It's sideways. It is unnatural to me. But as I stuck with it and I kept with it, then I started beating the guys that I was supposed to beat. And then I'm starting to compete with people better than me because I've got spin and I've got all kinds of cool stuff going on. But at first, it just feels weird. It just feels odd until we train to do it. And the Christian life, guys, it is training like that. It does feel weird. But faith isn't a feeling thing. Faith is obedience. Faith is trust. Faith is saying, all right, the way that I think and my street smarts, and street smarts aren't that smart, but street smarts tell me to live is to do it this way. But your word says to do it this way. Nobody agrees with the Bible, but I'm going to trust what you say, and I'm going to do it. And you're going to get pushed back. You're going to get mocked, whatever. And you do it, and then you realize, man, this is fulfilling. This is right. I am more like Christ. I feel more fulfilled. And whereas those things that I was doing before, I kept doing to have my coping mechanisms the way that I'd always done it, now I'm doing things differently. It feels funky at first, but as I obey Jesus, it becomes more natural and becomes more supernatural. And God lets you continue to be pushed through these tests of people and difficulties. And if you keep getting the same test over and over and over, and you just keep getting the same circumstance over and over and over, I'm not sure, but it might be an indication that you're not passing. And God wants you to go through it until you learn, because this is what spiritual maturity is. Becoming like Jesus is applying biblical truth. It's not just knowing. It's not just understanding. It's doing and using it. You become more like Him by spiritual maturity. When we talk about that, we're not talking about knowing more about the Bible, although that's part of it. It's information plus application, and that's when you have transformation. And that's the only time. You can know it all. My goodness, there are people that that write stuff all day long about the Bible, and they call them scholars. They don't know Jesus from a man in the moon, personally, in relationship with Him. They're just talking about the text. And they're just talking about their thoughts about it. Actually, seminary is more about what this guy thought about, what that guy thought about, what that guy thought about the Bible. That's what it's about. You're talking about what other people think, what humans think. There's really only two ways to understand the world, man's way and God's way. There's really only two religions, if you want to look at it that way, God's and everything else. And what we're looking at here is becoming like Jesus is applying those biblical truths, living those things out. Look with me here. spiritual maturity, trust, trusting in him. Then a voice from heaven, verse 8, spoke to me again. Now we're talking about John. Go and take the open scroll. We're talking about the little book, the little scroll, from the hand of the angel who's standing on the land. Now, I just think that's kind of a weird thing. This is a huge angel, voice like a lion, whatever, says, hey, go tell that guy to give you the book. And he obeyed. So I went to the angel. Hand me the scroll. And he did. He said, I went to the angel, told him to give me the scroll. He said, yes. Take it and eat it. Seriously, man? I thought I was going to be able to read it. Now you're telling me to eat it. He said, it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth, but it will turn sour in your stomach. So I took the small scroll from the hand of the angel and I ate it. It was sweet in my mouth, but when I swallowed it, it turned sour in my stomach. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, languages, and kings. When we begin to follow Jesus, when we hear the words of freedom, we hear Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose again in power over those sins. He reigns at the right hand of the Father right now. He'll send his Holy Spirit to live in you. You can be free from the burden of sin. And we receive that gift. And we don't earn it. We receive it. And it is the sweetest thing ever. It is the most wonderful thing ever. And we begin to walk like Jesus. And we begin to do like Jesus. And we begin to apply things like Jesus. I have a saying, the truth will set you free, but first it will tick you off. You like read the words and you're like, oh, that's beautiful, that's freedom. That's what I need to do. That's how I need to live. And then you start to live it, and then there's pushback from your friends. There's pushback in relationship. There's pushback internally of how, oh, this feels weird. There's all kinds of crises and difficulties. And I need to tell you this. The storm's coming, whether you know Jesus or not. It's whether you're walking with Jesus. You're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, and if everything's going well, you're about to get into a crisis. That's the way it's going to be working for you. That's life. And the storms are coming, whether or not you're following Jesus. They're coming. But will you walk through them, and will you let him walk through them with you? As you do it, you're like, man, that's what I need to do. I got the Jesus thing. And then we start to experience what it is, and we have some tension of whether or not we should really follow him and trust him. And when we don't, there's that sweetness becomes kind of bitter because we're not fully trusting. The sweetness going down is when we trust. And I get it, we're humans, we're kind of resistant to things. But the Spirit of God living in us empowers us to do that. It's not doing. There is some intellect involved in it. It is a decision. It is a commitment. But you can't willpower your way into the Christian life. You've got to trust your way through the Christian life. You've got to trust your way with Jesus. It's not religion or ceremony or doing little thingies or going and talking to a priest or talking to some statue or putting a statue upside down in the front of your yard so your house will sell or all kinds of weird stuff that we do as human beings that we think God is going to respond to. God does not respond to any of that junk. It's just junk. God responds to this. You, your heart, talking to him. Hearing from him. Relationships with him. No more guys than if you just sent your wife flowers and never showed up at the house and talked to her. She wouldn't be like, he sends me flowers, he sends me a little bit of money, he gives me cards, but I never see him. I never talk to him. I don't know him. What kind of relationship with that is that? You know what kind of relationship with that is? It's not one. It's a flower relationship. We're just kind of doing stuff for him. Like it's good. And what God wants is what we want out of relationships. To know somebody. To be with somebody. To live with somebody. But here's the real bitterness in the mouth, guys. Or in the stomach. We read the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. And here, John is taking this book And it's all of the things that are about to happen. That's what he's doing. This is not new. God had told Ezekiel to do this. It's a weird deal. He tells him to take it, and he's like, "You're gonna eat these words, and you're gonna share these words." And the idea is that you take the word of God in internally. You absorb it. You're taking it in. So you're gonna hear these words, and then you're gonna prophesy and tell them the message, and then the sour thing in the stomach for Ezekiel, they're not going to hear it. They're not going to listen. Here we've had the whole earth literally scorched a third of it. Earthquakes, darkness, all kinds of things. And we read last week, the really sad part was, after all of those things, and they got weird insects coming out with scorpion butts and all kinds of freaky things, all right? The enemy has brought a lot of these on us, and that's not part of this sermon either, but that's what happens. We follow the enemy. We follow the devil. We do things the world's way, and then the enemy inflicts pain upon us, and then we go like, God, why are you doing this to me? We brought it on ourselves, and we're in a world that has brought this junk on ourselves, and the enemy just laughs because he sends the troubles. And we caused all the troubles, and then he says, hey, blame God. And it's really kind of stupid when you think about it, because that's not the way God designed any of this. In fact, that's why we're looking at Revelation. He's going to bring it back to redemption, into consummation, into fulfillment. And he's saying, these are my words. This is what I'm doing. It's not easy. It's simple. It's not something that you just pass by and say, all right, I'm going to follow Jesus as if nothing, but you receive it, and it's sweet, and you hear it, and you receive the word, and you begin to trust, and you're fulfilled, and the bitterness of it is everybody around you, or most people around you, the majority of people, are not going to follow, even after they see all that God has done, and it's bitter in the stomach. So John looks at it. Yeah, Jesus is coming to fulfill everything. Jesus is going to destroy the devil. Jesus is going to do all that. And then he realizes, but there are so many people that have heard, and they're still not going to follow him. And it breaks his heart. And guys and gals, if that doesn't break our hearts too, we hadn't been around Jesus enough. We haven't obeyed Jesus enough. We haven't applied what Jesus has told us enough yet. Because if we're like Jesus, our hearts break for those who don't know him. And there are many that will reject. But listen, there are many that will hear and they'll receive the word. And to them, it will be sweet as honey too. And as they trust, they'll see how God fulfills them, and they'll see how God lives with them, and they'll see how when storms come, they have an anchor, they have a foundation. They'll see that when these when difficulties happen, they have somebody to turn to. They have the Spirit of God in them. You know what that means? The Spirit of God inhabiting your body, that means he's closer to you than your breath. Your breath comes out. He is closer to you than life itself. He is life. And this is how he wants to live with us. In relationship, in obedience, applying what he says, trusting him with everything, trusting him with our money and our marriage and our time and our energies and our jobs and our kids and our everything. Until we become more like him, we bear the image of God, we become like Jesus, step by step, by step, as we trust one thing after another, and whether the earth is being scorched or a storm is coming in our life, we have peace. Not because everything's okay out here, but because everything is good and okay with our Creator, with God. All right, let's do this. Let's pray. I'm going to invite you, if you have not received this gift of Jesus, been relieved of your burden of sin and become a follower of him, I'm going to invite you right now, God is calling you. That pull right in your heart, that is the Spirit of God pulling you, saying, give it over to me. Let me be your Lord. Let me be your leader. You've tried it your own way. Give me your life, and I will show you your purpose, and I will show you what I want for you, and that is I want you to be like me and fulfill the purpose that you were put on earth for and in heaven for. I want you to be with me forever. Let's walk together. And invite you right now. Say something like this. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I've messed up badly. And I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead in power over sin. And I believe you ascended to the Father's right hand to rule. And I want you to lead my life. So I ask you to be my Lord, my leader, to be my Savior from my sins and forgive me of my sins. I transfer my trust from me and I put my trust in you. Save me. I want to be yours now and forever and forever. And thank you for saving me and fulfilling your promise. And dear Father, as we go through this week now, I pray that you would remind us of our need for you, our need to walk with you, our need to trust you, our need to obey you, our need to live with you. Jesus, you want more than anything to know us, to love us, to walk with us, to show us, to enlighten us, to give us everything that we need. And we've got lots of storms in this room, people going through lots of things. Lord, walk with us. See us through it. And most of all, Jesus, make us like you in it so that we can become like you intended for us to be, like you, bearing your image, being who we were intended to be from the beginning. And Lord, come quickly. We look for the day when you bring all things to fruition and you consummate your will upon this world and you become and evil is conquered and we can live with you in that perfect day where no tears are, and no sadness, and death is not have any sting at all. In the meantime, Lord, walk with us. Give us peace and joy along the journey. Thank you, Jesus, for being everything that we need. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're on the right hand here, if you'll pass down the popcorn buckets, while we're doing that, I want to remind you of a couple of strategic things. One, we are having students tonight. The address, it's at the Kimball's house. They're not there, but we're going to be there. It's at their house in House Creek North at 6:30. Look on the plug it in your GPS and find your way over there if you need directions. If not, let us know. We'll get you there. It's not hard to get there. The other thing is the prayer team is not meeting tonight, and we're going to meet online. And I think we are online for Ironman, right, on Wednesday. So we're set for Ironman on Wednesday to do that. Next week also is after Sunday worship at 11, about 12 o'clock, we're all going to meet up at the Copper's Cove Parks, and we're going to get out in the heat and splash some water and maybe play some volleyball or something like that. So picnic, and we'll do all that. We'll get the exact pavilion next week for you, so make plans to do that and be a part of that for just a little bit. Eat lunch with us. All right? It was great to see you today. God bless you big time. Go give them heaven!